Enemy Radio.
It's show 11. It's the 28th of July 2013. It's pissing rain out. We've been fucking lashed out of it with sun the last couple of weeks. It's been fantastic. You hear people complaining about it all the time, but I mean, it's Ireland. People complain about fucking everything. But it's Sunday. It's my day off. Well, I say it's my day off. Every time I have a day off, I end up having to go to the pub anyway to do something. I was there for an hour today. We've been having the wooden floor that we have in the venue downstairs. We've been having that kind of redone because obviously we had a flood there a month or two ago and it destroyed the brand new wooden floor. So I was in there today. I had to check on that. I had to set up some microphones and stuff for the live acts that are on the ground floor today. Do the teal, all that type of bullshit. So that's the closest thing to a day off that I get. This week is fucking crazy for me. I've got a gig this Tuesday. By the time this comes out, the gig will be over. I'm playing with a band from the States called Integrity. Well, I say they're from the States. I think the singer, his name is Dweed. I can't remember. I don't know how you pronounce it. I think he lives in Belgium now. He lives in Europe anyway. And I think the rest of us kind of rent the band. But Integrity are one of those kind of 90s hardcore bands that had like this kind of doom metal influence over them. I like Integrity, I have to say. They have some fantastic tracks. Some of it's kind of, I would say, not orchestral. Orchestral is the wrong word. They just had these weird kind of droning tracks on some of the albums that were kind of grand background music, but if you're listening to them on your headphones, you kind of skip that track. But I'm looking forward to playing with them on Tuesday. I'm supposed to be doing a video with 20 Bulls on Wednesday. I haven't even sat down with the guy shooting the video yet. I don't know what we're doing. I think we're just going to show up and hope for the best. We're doing it in the rehearsal room. So I got to go into the rehearsal room a couple of hours early. We're supposed to start filming around 6:30. I have to go in early and kind of clean up the room because it's full of shit, you know. It's full of fucking crisp packets and the empty cans of beer and mugs of tea and just generally shit everywhere. So just to give it a once over, so it looks the part. I mean, obviously we're not making a fucking Lady Gaga video, so it's gonna be it'll be a little bit more rough and ready. But I'm looking forward to that. Then what else have I got? So I've got this gig on Tuesday, doing the video on Wednesday. I've got tonight, I'm recording this, what time is it? It's about half three in the afternoon. I'm meeting Astro Martin tonight to record their another episode of Enemy Radio. And we're going to be basing it on kind of where science meets reality in the movie world. And we're actually recording it in the Trinity College Science Labs. So that's going to be fucking cool. I don't know which way I'm going to work it. I'm recording this one now. This could be Wednesdays, it could be Fridays. I haven't done one in a week. I haven't done a show in a week. I've been fucking crazy in the pub. There's so much stuff going on. Real life has been fucking crazy as well. Everything's been going on. But so I've just been kind of, I've just been trying to juggle everything at the same time. It's crazy. I finished writing issue 2 of Presidential, the webcomic that I'm doing. I've got 3 more issues to write. I'm under pressure now because the artist, Yelena, she's looks like she's signing a contract with a pretty big comic book writer or a studio to get involved and the more professional and things. So I really have to step up my game and get fucking everything moving really quickly. So everything's just fucking, literally, I sit down to kind of relax for 5 minutes and I go, oh, okay, oh man, like turn on the TV and I'm like, fuck, this is amazing. And then all of a sudden, my brain just goes, you have 1,000 things to do. And I have to fucking jump up and start running. I haven't had time to actually just sit down and do nothing in ages. I got my old Xbox up and running. One of the guys had it. I think I said this last week or at the last show. But I've actually been playing it. I've been playing it more than any other console. Because I've been waiting on some component cables for the PlayStation 2. Because the only game I have on PS2 is Shadows of the Colossus. And it's the only game I really want to play. I mean, there's a couple more that I'll probably pick up. But it's the only game I want to play. But it looks so bad on like a flat screen TV, on a HD TV, that it's impossible to fucking play. It's blurry. I can't tell what the fuck's going on. And apparently there's some component cables. So I bought some. It turns out you can buy stuff on Amazon without having a laser, without having a Visa card. You can just use your laser card. So I bought some component cables for that. I bought some component cables, or I bought an RGB cable for my GameCube, but that doesn't work for some reason. It just shits itself. The component cables for GameCube are like €150, so that can just fuck off. Maybe at some stage I'll pick up like a little old kind of big back CRT TV and it'll work fine. The Xbox just component cables for the original Xbox, I've ordered those. Apparently they fucking beef up the graphics. I've been trying to do a soft mod on my Xbox. Apparently you can turn it into like a media center. I'm not so interested in the media center because I have like a little HDMI computer that I can plug into the TV that runs Android, and it's great just for watching movies and stuff like that. But you can play like old games, like old arcade games and stuff on the original Xbox once you do it up, once you soft mod it. The problem is the original Xbox doesn't have any like USB ports or any way of getting that information onto the Xbox. There's a couple of ways you can tear apart one of the controllers and you can rewire. There's like a memory card slot in each controller. There's two actually. Where you can pull them apart and you can hardwire them to take USB sticks. I'm thinking about doing that, but it looks a bit fucking difficult. And the other way is you open up the Xbox. The Xbox has a regular computer hard drive, like an IDE hard drive in there, and you can take that out. You can add your files onto it and then throw it back into the Xbox. Trouble to see, but I've been playing some games. I got some controllers for it the other day. It's amazing how much better the original Xbox looks than the PS2. For consoles that came out at the same time, it's fundamentally better. Like, everything about it is better. The controller's better as well. The controller just fucking works. It doesn't feel like a toy. Anyway, games aside, I'm going to play a song. This is the first time the song's been broadcast anywhere or played anywhere. It's actually my own band. It's 20 Bulls. We done some recording in Trackmix in Blanchardstown a couple of months ago. And the plan was to put out a 7-inch. We recorded three tracks, and we had one recorded from a couple of months before that we recorded in a place called Resident Evil Studios in Harold's Cross. So we had these four songs. So we talked about, will we do a 7-inch? Will we do like a split? The plan was to do like a split 7-inch because we could probably fit all four fucking songs. They're so short on one side of a 7-inch. You'd be pushing it a little bit, but you could get it done. So there's all this, we were talking about doing this. Then the bands we were supposed to do splits with, they all fucking dropped off one by one. Supposed to be doing some splits with some like Austrian bands, and some Polish bands, some German bands. And we, one by one, they were all kind of, oh, we won't be ready to record until August, oh, we can't do this until then. So it just turned into a bit of a fucking clusterfuck. And then we looked, the prices are getting like a couple of hundred seven, it just stood up as fucking astronomical. I don't know how bands are getting it done. Like, it's crazy money. The prices were getting quoted. It would cost, like, each unit, like, we couldn't sell it for the price it's costing us to have them made. You know what I mean? You can't sell a 7-inch for more than a fiver. And like, these things are working out like 7, 8, 9 quid each to have fucking made. Like, it's madness. I don't know how people are doing it. So now we're talking to this record label in Poland called Spooky Records, and they're talking about just throwing it onto a fucking CD, making an EP and putting it out. But we haven't played any of these songs. Apologies, we put one song on Facebook a couple of months ago, but it was a badly mastered version. It was clipping and shit. It was more just a rough idea to let people know what it sounded like. But I'm going to play a song now that's going to be off the new EP or split or whatever the fuck it's going to be. It was the first time it's being heard. It's called, what's it called? Better Days. So I'm going to bang it out now. And fucking people, get in touch. Let me know if it's good, if it's bad. If I can find it, I'll put the details up for the Spooky Records site. Give them a bit of pressure. Fucking tell them to hurry up. Get up off their arses and get it done. But this is called Better Days by 20 Bulls each. And I apologise in advance if you don't like it. And if you do like it, savage.
Yeah.
There you go. It's either going to be called Best Days or Better Days Behind Us. I don't know what the fuck it's called. It has some fucking name anyway. That'll be on the... It'll have a final name by the time it goes out to some sort of medium. So basically, the deal is that 20 Bulls have been around for like 11 or 12 years or some... A long time anyway. And when we started off, we didn't really know what we were doing. And it was just a gang of lads who kind of met each other randomly through, what the hell did we, I think it was like buy and sells fucking musicians wanted bullshit. And anyway, the lineup has kind of changed, but it's always been me, Gav, and Skinny kind of at the core of it. And at the moment, we've got Adrian on bass and we've got Nico on guitar. I used to play guitar as well, but I stopped just because the vocals start getting kind of faster and heavier. And I felt like I'd do a better job just singing than I would singing and playing guitar. And also means I don't have to carry any gear anymore, which is fucking great. I can just show up at 8 o'clock and do the gig. And so about, I say it was 4 years ago, I got a phone call randomly one day. I used to have a record shop in town in Temple Bar called Horror Business. And we just had like punk, hardcore, psychobilly, all that stuff that fucking I listen to. And I got a phone call one day in the middle of the afternoon from a guy called Andy, who runs a record label called Thorpe Records in the States. And I knew Thorpe Records. I sold their records and some of my favourite records were put out on Thorpe Records. And they put out that Madball EP that when Madball broke up and got back together again, they put out the New York Hardcore EP. And that's one of my favourite Madball record of all time. It's better than the fucking albums. It's fantastic. It's like 4 or 5 tracks and every one of them is amazing. There's a track in there called Tightrope, which is, if you ask me, it's the best song Madball I've ever written. But I got a phone call one day, just out of the fucking blue. I don't know how he got my number, any of that bullshit. Because I used to go onto the Thorpe like message board. And like it was weird. Unlike something like the B9, where it's just a clusterfuck of people just randomly throwing up like bits of bands and it changes so quickly. The Thorpe one was a little bit slower, had a smaller base. But everybody seemed to kind of get on with each other. It was almost like a gang of friends talking. So it was cool to kind of be involved on that board. And you had like guys like Paul Eaton Sheer Terror and like Dave from Inhuman and guys in bands, you know, like fucking Mark from the Ducky Boys. And like these guys were all on there talking, you know, so it was like it was their place. So it was a cool spot to be kind of hanging out and killing a little bit of time during the day. I don't know how they got my number, but he rang me and he said, "Listen, we're trying something new. We're trying something new with 20 Bulls, with the record label, and we want to take Bulls on board. We're after signing up 4 or 5 other bands from all over the world, mostly estates, but we've got a couple of other bands. And we want to try something." So I was like, "Yeah, well, fucking, you know, we're up for it." Because we'd always just self-released our stuff. To be honest with you, we never really even bothered contacting record labels. I think maybe in the first year we went crazy. And we were sending fucking demos to like Fat Wreck and Epitaph and all that shit. That's just the shit you do when you're fucking, you know, in your early 20s. But we didn't bother anymore. Like at that stage, we'd done like 3 or 4 tours of the States. And we'd done some stuff in Europe. And we'd been to the UK a shitload of times. And we'd always just self-released all our CDs. I think that was, like, the way they explained it, that's what they were interested in. And it was unusual because we're pretty much not very well liked on the Irish hardcore or punk scene. Because we don't fit into any little box, you know. The current kind of Irish hardcore scene will be majority ruled by a group of fucking people who would have originally started off in a forum called Moshpace. Before it was Moshpace, it was called emohardcore.tk or something like that. But they were all mates, you know, and they were all much younger than us, and they had their own little thing. And they, like, at the beginning, I think a lot of them had assumed that they kind of had brought hardcore to this country. And I'm not saying Bulls did, there was bands before us as well, and bands going at the same time. Fucking much better bands as well. But because of that, we didn't really fit in with them. We weren't mates. We weren't hanging out with them on the weekends. And all their gigs had the same fucking bands. And it suffers a little bit from that now to this day, if you ask me. Like, I know some of the lads now and their sound. I'd consider some of them mates. And, you know, I see them on the street. I'd stop and I'd talk to them. And, you know, I text them or I fucking email them or whatever. And they come into me at the pub sometimes and we have a laugh. But, like, I think that even they'd agree that, like, a lot of the lineups just have the same fucking bands on them consistently. It's the same with the punk scene as well, like the FOAD guys. It's the same fucking 5 support bands, you know. This whole deal of having like 4 or 5 support bands before the main band drives me fucking mental. Because personally, if I'm going to see a gig, I don't mind seeing like one support band. You know what I mean? Maybe two with a push, if they're good, and then the main band. But this whole deal of having four or five support bands just means that the fucking venue is almost full before people start even paying in. I think that might be the idea behind it. But the hardcore scene never really took to us. I mean, we played with Chromags, and we played with fucking Biceps Fire and all this type of shit. We got screwed out of Sick of It All support once, which is the one that I've always been fucking building up to for years. I support played with fucking Agnostic Front, whoever, you know. But I want to do Sick of It All. Like, that's my fucking my thing in life. I don't want to just do one gig. I want to do a fucking tour with them, you know. But yeah, we were never accepted by the hardcore scene in Ireland. The scene in the States liked us. We were always getting emails and offers of gigs in the States. So, I mean, we eventually bit the bullet and we went over. We always had to kind of fucking make it up in one way, shape or form. I think the last one, we'd have to like borrow a bassist from a band or whatever because one of our guys couldn't make it or some shit like that. But we always made it over. And I think the longest we went for was like 2.5 weeks. And it was fun, and we made some great friends over there. And something I've been thinking about recently, actually, we met one of the kind of nicest and best people I think I've ever met in my life was a guy called Jason Lockwood. And we met him in Detroit, and Jason was involved with a record label called Hell City Records, and they put out some compilations and put some Bulls tracks in some of these compilations. And you know, he always invited us to stay in his place. And you know, he'd fucking, whenever we played Detroit or anywhere in Michigan, he'd organise gigs for us. And he played in a band called the Whiskey Diaries, and we'd play with those guys and we'd get on with them really well. But anyway, Jason took his own life a couple of months ago, and it hit me hard at the start, and then I kind of eventually kind of pushed it to the back of my head and tried not to think about it. But for some reason, the last week or two, I've been thinking about him a lot, and I've decided that next year I'm going to do my fucking absolute damnedest to try and get the band over to the States and see if we can't organise some sort of fucking a memorial fucking gig in Detroit for Jason. He was one of my favourite people that I met, because I'd spent a lot of time in the States apart from the bands anyway. And I used to hang out with Jason. He'd bring me fucking out DJing with him and stuff like that, and I talked to him randomly via email or Facebook or whatever, and I know he had a hard time, but he's fucking well and truly missed. He's sorely fucking missed by everybody who knew him, I think. So I've made it my mission to try and do something, to get over there and see those guys again and fucking hang out and just talk about fucking Jason, to be honest with you, just to fucking celebrate the fucking dickhead that he is, or was, should I say. Just celebrate his life. But I have a new lease of fucking energy the last couple of months. Even though I've been so busy, I have a new lease of energy for Bulls. Skeleton Crew, that I play with as well, kind of has its own little deal there. It's such a niche market that Skeleton Crew play into. This is the problem. I think when you actually have an interest in music, in trying to make something new as opposed to just playing the same fucking shit that everybody else is playing. Like, we're somewhere between fucking Skeleton Crew or somewhere between hardcore, punk and psychobilly. So, and because of that, we don't necessarily fit in anywhere else. We fit more on punk gigs than anything else, but we rarely get asked to play them. Again, we're not in any sort of clique or gang. We don't drink in the fucking Foggy Jew every Friday night. You know, we don't hang out with Paranoid Visions. We don't do all these type of things, and not because we don't like them or don't do anything, you know, for them or whatever. If they asked us, there's a chance we do it if we were able to do it. You know, but we're not in those circles. And Ireland has always been renowned as being as cliquey as they fucking come. And for me, it's more about doing stuff outside of the country. The problem is that with Skeleton Crew, that Ray the bassist has a kid, and Glenn plays in Spellbound as well. And Spellbound are fucking internationally known and get paid to fucking travel all over the world to play gigs. So his time is at a fucking premium. Even though he'll tell you that Skeleton Crew is his main deal, he's got stuff to do. And I've got a pub to run. It's very rare that I can take a lot of time off. I have some time booked off for September because I'm driving to Poland. We decided, myself and herself, she's got a dog over there, and we're going over to collect her dog. So we had to fucking, she flew over a while ago and got this dog the pet passport, and I take him, my father's, he's got like a camper van, a big 7-sleeper camper van, Fiat Ducato fucking thing. I've never driven it before in my life, but apparently I'm driving it across all of Europe. So we booked the ferry there a couple of nights ago. So it's Rosslare to, where is it? Rossfair de Cherbourg in France, and then all the way across France, all the way across Belgium, all the way across Germany, and then into Poland. Google Maps tells me it's like 16, 17 hours each way, and about between 250 and 300 euro in diesel. I mean, it's not the end of the world. We've done fucking crazy long drives in the States. I think the longest one we ever done in the States was like 9 or 10 hours. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to break this up. So going to try and spend the night in every country before we hit fucking Poland. I'm going to try and spend a night in France, a night in Belgium, a night in Germany, and then hit Poland. Although Belgium's kind of small, you drive across it in a day. But apparently Belgium has the best record shops in Europe. So that's fucking, that might have to be a stop. So maybe I'll just boycott France altogether, to be honest with you. And maybe just stop in Belgium. We're going to be driving pretty close to Cologne. And I know there's a website called musicstore.com. And they're based out of Cologne in Germany. And they have a giant shop, a giant fucking music shop. Now the problem is I don't really buy gear anymore, because the rig I have for everything is the kind of rig I want to use until the day I die. So I've got the guitar I've always wanted, I've got the amp I've always wanted, I've got the cab that does the job, whatever. I mean, maybe if we're close enough to it, I'll stick my head in for an hour or two, take some photos, just to say I was there more so than anything else. I want to try and hit up some of the historical spots as well. It's a holiday. I don't want to be driving for 16 hours to get to Poland to sit on my arse. We're going to Krakow in Poland, so that should be interesting. There's talk around the campfire about opening like a Thomas House pub in Poland. There has been for a while, because it's pretty cheap and it looks like there's a decent market there for the type of thing that we do. So I'm going to go over, I'm going to try and meet up with a couple of bar owners. They'll have to speak English. My Polish is fucking shocking. I know about six fucking sentences maximum. So I'm going to have to meet up with them, have a word with them. I just want to get a feel for the city. But the problem is people are telling me that fucking Krakow is like this criminally run fucking city, like it's all ganglands and backhanders and shit like that. Not as Warsaw apparently is a little bit kind of easier to run businesses in. But like, I'm not going to fucking Warsaw. I was in Warsaw for an hour once and it was mayhem with all the fucking trains and the cars. It was fucking bedlam. But I'm going to Krakow and I'm going to be there for a couple of days, so that's my choice in the matter. Also through ourselves, she'll know a few people that maybe if it does get running, we can kind of staff it up with those people and get the ball rolling on it. But I have no plans on fucking moving to Poland. This is I'm in Ireland and that's the fucking way it is. But the plan is to, if all goes to plan, to open something up over there. But anyway, I'm gonna play another song. I have some shit written down here. Find my piece of paper. I'm very badly organized. I've been writing stuff down in the proton packs all day. Doing some research on Ghostbusters, because I think that's what me and Martin are going to talk about tonight, Ghostbusters and maybe a little bit of Robocop. I'm going to play an old song. I'm going to play a song called Last Year's Youth by Menace. This is off one of the fucking Joys of Oi compilations, I think it is anyway. But this is Menace, Last Year's Youth. It's Menace and Last Year's Youth. I think it was. I didn't even check that track. I just fucking inserted it. So it was something different. So what? Get over it. I just checked outside. The fucking rain is incredible. It's going to flood like a bastard. The art shop next door to Thomas House got flooded there, was it on Friday? The poor bastard Christian who runs the place was fucking there all day and all night, running around in wellies trying to fix the place. We've had loads of trouble as well, but we haven't actually got flooded by the rain recently. It's just been that stupid fucking pumps next door. It's just ongoing the last fucking 2 years. Well, it's ongoing years. Apparently, as the legend goes, years ago when Thomas House first kind of reopened as a modern pub as opposed to being like an outfitless job, the basement was flooded, and the place sat empty for fucking years. And when the new tenants came in and took over, they went downstairs and there was something like 6 foot of water in the basement. They had to hire a scuba diver to go in and fucking fix the pipes before it could be drained out. So that place is fucking renowned for it. This country is a fucking... Listen, I'm not going to get into Ireland bashing. I love Ireland. It's fucking just wrong. Everything about it is wrong. It's hard to pick things that are right about it. Because for every kind of good thing you find about the country, there's a thousand things that will drive you fucking mental. But the building regulations here and the landlords' fucking obligations and the times that they have to react in are fucking shocking, like shocking. But anyway, moving on. Something completely different now. I love Indian food. I talked about the price of Indian food before, and I was so pissed off about paying crazy money for Indian food, I decided to make some myself. Now, randomly, I've made fucking Indian food in the past, but because I don't eat meat, I eat a lot of paneer cheese, like Indian cheese. And I've been reading online the last couple of weeks about how to make paneer cheese, and it looked really fucking easy. So I decided the other day I was going to go out and make cheese. So first thing I had to do, I had to buy cheesecloth. So I went to Hickey's, right? Apparently people are saying, oh, go to Hickey's. So I went to Hickey's, and Hickey's had been flooded and couldn't sell me it. So I found another place, Duffy's on Talbot Street. The woman was very nice. She sold me some, was it called muslin or something like that? And brought that home. But what did I buy? Fucking 3 litres of regular milk and a thing of cream. And it was pretty, I have to say, it was actually easy enough to make it. But what I done was, I kind of documented the whole thing on Twitter. And I done it all in steps. And people, for some reason, seemed to like it and thought it was funny. But there was a couple of people saying, oh, God, I want some of this fucking curry that you're making. So I made like a tomato-based kind of curry. Yeah, I like cooking. So I made like a basic tomato-based curry. And to be honest with you, I ate most of it. Myself ate most of it before I even came into work. But I came in with like whatever, a Tupperware kind of fucking tub of it. And it was got fucking demolished. One person came in on time. One Twitter person came in on time. Lovely girl, was very nice, came in. She got as much of it as fucking would fit into the microwavable thing that I brought in. And she said it was delicious. It turned out well, I have to say. Everybody who tried it said it was lovely. I didn't make it spicy, because I know some people are weird about spice. I like medium spicy. And some things I like hot, hot, hot. But not when I'm in work, because I get real angry. I get real angry when I eat spicy food. Like, people can't fucking look at me or talk to me. Like, I'm enjoying eating it. Or like, if they ask me to do something, like, come over here for a minute, I'll just stab them in the fucking eye with a fork. Because I'm in pain, it hurts me. But it's good, you know, it's a good pain. I like fucking eating that hot, spicy shit and you're just shoveling it into yourself. Like, trying to fucking enjoy it, but yet get it over and done with as quick as possible. Because, you know, the fucking worst pain comes when you stop eating. When that fucking heat gets time to settle in your mouth and just start eating into your fucking tongue. So you're like, lashing into it. But people don't look at me when I'm eating spicy food. In fact, just leave me alone if I'm eating, to be honest with you. I hate that shit. I hate trying to eat on the go. You know, you see these, like, you know, power business fucking dudes walking down the road on the phone. You know, fucking with a wrap or a sandwich in their hand, you know. Arseholes, just fucking turn up your phone, eat your fucking lunch. Like, take your time, you know. It's eating, it's there to be enjoyed. Just fucking relax. Be stuffing things down your fucking throat to move on to the next job. You're going to die someday, like. Just relax, have your sandwich, calm down. But, so I made it. People enjoyed it. It was great crack. It's great crack making it. It's pretty easy to make. Easier than I thought it was going to be. The kind of getting the water out of it when you're done making it is the only tricky thing. Getting that aspect of things done. Because you don't get the water out of it right, you're left with kind of a, like a wet cheese. It has no substance to it, you know. It'll just fall apart. And some of my cheese fell apart, some of it didn't. I squeezed it and I fucking drained it as hard as I could. But obviously when you buy paneer cheese in a fucking Indian shop or anywhere, you know, it's been industrially fucking pressed, you know. And one of the big things was it was warm when I was making it, and you're supposed to store it. When you make it, you're supposed to put it in like the ice water for 2 or 3 hours. The fucking ice kept melting, and the water had like raised in temperature. I didn't want to put it in the fridge. I didn't know which way it'd work. But yeah, it was interesting. It was fun. But anyway, I'm going to play another fucking song. I'm going to play a song by a band called Most Precious Blood. I'm going to play, to be honest with you, the last couple of songs I'm going to play tonight are going to be heavy enough, just because I've been listening to more and more hardcore recently, getting me bollocks up for playing some gigs. That NSX festival was cancelled. I think I mentioned this before last week, which is a bit of a pain in the bollocks, but however, we have some other gigs lined up, and I think we've been offered some more stuff in Poland. We'll see how that works out. I like playing Poland. But what am I playing? I'm playing a song called Shark Ethic by Most Precious Blood, and I like it a lot. It's got a fucking like a Sisters of Mercy kind of rip off riff at the start of it. I think it's this Corrosion, I think it's a rip off of. I could be wrong. It's literally the words to that song just jumped out of my mouth there. I didn't really think about it, but anyway, have a listen to this. I think this is fucking cool as fuck.
Yeah.
that was Most Precious Blood with Shark Ethics off an album called Merciless. I think I told you I picked up, or maybe I didn't, I can't remember, a Bang & Olufsen Biogram 2000 turntable in the East Wall Market a couple of weeks ago. I went back a week later and I bought a fucking Bang & Olufsen Biogram 2200. I got the first one for €25, I got the second one for €30. They've no needles, this is the problem. Apparently Bang & Olufsen stopped making the needles in the 80s. And they're fucking impossible to find B&O needles. They're sought after by the people. They're good turntables. They look better than they sound, but they're certainly fucking way above your average kind of consumer grade stuff. So I've got two of them. I'm gonna sell one kind of as is, probably to one of the lads for the price I fucking paid for it. But I'm gonna buy some needles. I was looking around for ages, and I found a website. I found a great website in the States. They're like they custom build parts for old turntables, and the company are called Soundsmith, and the website is like www.sound-smith.com. But it's a really basic website. You can tell these guys are fucking uber nerds. They've no time to be putting into the website. They don't really need to, you know. You're not going to buy random shit off them. You have to be really specific. So I got onto them. I said, listen, I've got a fucking Biogram 2000. That's the one I'm going to hold on to, even though I've got another model that's better. I've got the 2200, but for some reason I like the look of the 2000 better than I like the look of the 2200. The 2000 is also in slightly better shape, and I've wired it up and made noise with it. You know, it definitely works. I haven't even put a plug on the 2200 yet. I better test that before I sell it. But I got on to them. I said, I have this, I need a needle for it. And they came back to me and said, well, our basic one starts at fucking $200, and we go all the way up to about fucking $5,000. I was like, holy fucking shit, what type of needle For a Bang & Olufsen, you know what I mean, costs $5,000. It's fucking madness. So I'm just going to get the basic one off him. It's going to be better than any other sort of fucking bullshit needle. I mean, I've paid fucking like £120-130 for DJ needles before, and this is a fucking like an audiophile needle, the stylus. The difference between the two being that DJ stylus is kind of designed for tracking, and that doesn't wobble, it doesn't move, because you're moving all the time. You might be, you know, fast-forwarding tracks, not necessarily scratching or any of that shit. There's different needles for that. But your average kind of DJ needle, it's clarity of sound is kind of, it's good, but it's mostly designed for just staying in the groove and not jumping around a bit. Well, your audiophile needle has a sharper point on it. The B&O ones, or the one that I'm buying from Soundsmith, they has like a diamond-tipped elliptical stylus on it. So the whole idea is that it gets deeper into the groove, so it has a slightly better response. It's got kind of clearer tops and better mid ranges. So I'm fucking dying to hear what this sounds like, because the Rotel and Wharfdale system I built a couple of months ago sounds fucking amazing as it is, even with like a shitty Newmark belt drive piece of shit with like a fucking normal consumer grade needle on it. So I'm fucking dying to hear what it sounds, what's going to come out of this bleeding thing. I'm talking about this Astro Martin thing I'm doing later. I got lucky. Martin found a website that sold Kings of Nothing stuff on vinyl a while ago, so I was able to get a copy of Fight Songs for Fuck-Ups. Got a 12-inch version of that, and it fucking sounds amazing already, so I'm dying to hear about that. Those old-style instruments, like double basses and fucking washboards and like the general kind of sound quality, and dying to hear what that sounds like through the B&O system. So I think Martin will be the guy I invite over. He loves Kings of Nothing as well. Chances are he'll be picking some Kings of Nothing songs to play on the show later on once we get the Trinity. It's pissing rain now. Still, I'm making some wedges at the moment. So, because I'm fucking starving. How about them? How about them apples? So, I'm going to play probably a few more tracks on this show than I normally would, because I'm up to my arse here running around, and the show could quite possibly be a little bit shorter than normal. Could be 10 minutes shorter than normal, just because I got to meet Martin in a little while. I still have to edit the show, get it all jazzed up and put some fucking hairspray on it, you know, get it ready to go out. And line it up for the schedule on Radioactive International. The Radioactive people were in the pub the other night. I didn't meet them. I wasn't there. I was actually off that night, because as I'm sure I told you by now, I do mostly the day stuff. I don't really work that often in the pub behind the bar. I'm there every Tuesday night. You want to come in and say hello. I'm there every Saturday afternoon. You want to come in and say hello. And I'm there generally early enough on a Friday as well. I'm there till maybe 8 or 9 o'clock on every Friday evening. So if anybody listens to the show and wants to come in and hang out, have a pint with me, or a cup of coffee, or whichever way you want to work it, or let's eat some fucking burritos, let's do something, drop into me. You know where I am, it's 86 Thomas Street. Just fucking come on up to me. So I'm going to play another song. I'm going to play A band I really like. They're from Sweden. A Raised Fist from Sweden. I think they are. I don't do any research, you know, at this point now. I done one show at research once about lake monsters, and it was so much easier. It was so much easier to have the research there and pieces of paper beside me. I just kind of wrote it out in my own style of writing and my phrases, and I just basically read it off pages, and I was like, Jesus Christ, that show was so easy. But like, it took fucking 3 hours to do the research notes and all that shit for the show. I don't have fucking time to do it, so as a rule I'm winging it. Every time you hear me talking, I'm talking absolute scutter off the cuff. But Raised Fist, as far as I know, they're from Sweden. I think this is off their last album, and this song is called Friends and Traitors. It's got the worst / best lyrics I've ever heard in my fucking life. Just keep rewinding this song and listening to it. It's a great song anyway. I really like it, but it's got the worst kind of fucking bad English fucking lyrics. Like, it's shocking, but it's amazing at the same time. But this is Friends and Traitors by Raised Fist. Have a listen to this. This is madness. My name is Alexander, the Raised Fist Commander. Lyrics from the heart. Was it writing from the hand? And I'm left-handed or something. It's fucking amazing. Holy shit. That's so good. It sounds so good though. It's recorded so well. The fucking bass tone in there is shocking. It's fucking makes you want to kick your elbow down the stairs. It's fucking really good. Bought a water filter the other day. Because I get real paranoid every now and again about shit. I'm like, oh, fucking fluoride. The fucking fluoride's going to kill us. Like, and then I'm reading about fluoride, and I'm like, oh my God. It's fucking, you know, it's making my brain shut down. So I went out and I bought a water filter. Well, I went to buy a water filter. I went to Tesco, and I was looking at the price of, like, the Brita water filter. It was, like, 40 quid. I'm like, I don't love my brain that much. And they had, like, the Tesco value equivalent for, like, a tenner. I was like, yeah, that'll do the fucking job. And it's fucking, I'm not going to say it's shite, it just doesn't hold that much fucking water. It holds like two glasses of water. It takes fucking ages to filter the water, so by the time I drink the water, I go, that's lovely and clean and cold. And I go, oh yeah, and I'm fooling myself. That fucking tastes different from what comes out of the tap. And it's fucking so stupid. But you know what, I'm sure there's something to everything. Do you know what I mean? There's something to everything. Like, just fucking, there has to be, there's people giving out about fluoride, there has to be something to it. I haven't really looked into it that hard. I just read the fucking anti-fluoride kind of propaganda. And, like, I haven't read the pro-fluoride shit. I mean, there's fluoride in fucking, in your toothpaste. They're saying, oh, you know, get toothpaste that doesn't have fluoride in it. But, like, there's toothpaste, is it not just made of fluoride? Like, mint and fluoride. What's the point in having toothpaste that doesn't have fluoride in it? I thought, like, the whole idea is that fluoride's supposed to be good for your teeth. That's what I don't understand, why they put it in fucking water anyway. But they're saying that, like, the levels that the Irish government put fluoride into the water is, like, fucking, like, an astronomical amount of fucking fluoride that goes in there. And, but I don't know, like, I've never felt what it's like to not have fluoride in my body, so I don't know what the difference is, you know? It's not like when I was in Greece or wherever, or some fucking desert island, drinking the purest spring water known to earth, and all of a sudden I had some sort of spiritual awakening. I was like, oh, the fucking fluoride. It was the fluoride, like. Now my body's pure, like, pours the fluoride. I can think, like, I can do maths now. I can spell properly. Like, I don't know if that would make a fucking, like, is there a big difference? Has anybody gone through, like, anybody normal, like, I'm talking normal. Like, has anybody normal gone through a fluoride purge, come out the other end of it, and just decided, you'll get so much fucking better, I felt great? And is that just because, like, you were just drinking loads of water, or was it actually because you didn't have any fluoride in your system? And then there was people in the pub the other day talking about some tablets you take that, like, get rid of the fluoride out of your body, magnesium tablets or something like that. Like, I take vitamins pretty much every day. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I forget for weeks and I feel like shit. And then I take a lot of vitamins. Like, double and triple up on vitamins, and I feel fucking great. I have to say, I feel great. Been doing this experiment at home. We got those, like, blue things, those blue tablets you put in the cistern in the toilet, you know, so the water comes out blue. I don't know what that's supposed to do, by the way. I don't know. Is it meant to be clean in your jacks? Like, it's blue. Does it just make the water blue? I don't know. But, you know, like, you take a lot of vitamins, your piss turns fucking yellow, like a luminous yellow. So you're able to turn the water in the toilet green. It's grey crack. And it's like trying to have, like, the biggest piss I can to see how green I can make the toilet water. Like, calling her in. Look at this. It's green toilet water. But anyway, I'm going to play one more song and then I need to get out of here. I need to start packing up to go into Trinity and do another one of these fucking shows. But as always, fucking, what is it, Enemy Radio at radioactiveinternational.com is the email address. Sorry, you can get me at mabrain@gmail.com. It's the same thing, mahbrain@gmail.com. And enemyradio.eu is the website, or that just redirects you to radioactiveinternational.com or radioactiveinternational.org. And but spread the word. But it looks like fucking people are listening to the show. Like, I see the stats every week or two. People seem to be interested. As always, I need content, you know what I mean? I don't want to keep doing shows with just me talking shy, where I'm thinking, oh, I haven't done a show in a couple of days, I haven't done a show in a week or two, I better fucking just sit down and start talking bollocks. Like, I want to have some sort of content to it. So give me a shout if you have some fucking ideas. I'm going to play one more song. I'm going to play a classic kind of New York hardcore song. This is by a band called Warzone. It's called The Sound of Revolution. And it's off that collection they've done called The Victory Years. But this is the last song. This being Enemy Radio. This has been Enemy Radio number 11, I think. And I'll be fucking talking to you again in about an hour. And that'll be Enemy Radio number 12 with special guest Astro Martin. But this is Warzone Sound Revolution. And I'll talk to you again in a couple of days. See you after.